Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to Industrial Talk, where we celebrate you, industry heroes all around the world. You are bold, you are brave. You dare greatly, you innovate, you solve problems, you're changing people's lives, and you're changing the world. That is why we celebrate you on Industrial Talk. All right. If you've been listening to Industrial Talk, you know that I'm very super duper passionate about education, industrial education, and how that industrial education can change lives, change communities, change the world. We've got a great interview. Her name is Gloria. I am not even going to try to say her last name. You'll hear it on the interview. But we're going to be talking about how we can spread education, industrial education, in the continent of Africa. How about that? Let's get cracking. She's from Uganda. She's got a lot of spirit. She is so much fun. And I am absolutely, without a doubt, honored that she said yes to be on the Industrial Talk podcast and talk a little bit about how we can transform communities if we could only get that education out there. And as you know, fortunately for Industrial Talk, we get to interview a lot of great people who are right at the cutting edge, right at the forefront of innovation, and are doing fabulous things to truly transform lives. And one of the challenges that I've seen is that the speed at which this innovation is going, it's hard to even keep up. And so countries and areas that are not as fortunate, let's say, as the United States, where we can get this information relatively quick, there's a potential or possibility of lagging behind. Now, if you have any countries that are wanting to truly industrialize and be able to benefit the community, education is key. And that's where we always talk here on Industrial Talk about education, collaboration, and innovation. And it requires all of that to really spread this education mindset. At Industrial Talk, we have the Industrial Academy, and where this is where we feature. I don't have all the answers. All I know is that if we can get the people who know have great insights into Industrial 4.0, the digitization, cloud, and how do we do that, and how do we deploy that, and what do we, but get that in a digital setting, get that out on a learning management system. Anybody can learn, and anybody can learn from the very best that the world has to offer. That is exciting. That is what Industrial Talk is all about. Again, in my intro, I believe you're changing lives. You're changing lives through innovation. You're changing lives because you're collaborating. You're changing lives because you're constantly seeking education. That's how I look at it. I might be completely and utterly wrong, but I don't think so. And the people that I interact with, the people that I engage with, have a same passion. They never stop seeking. They never stop pursuing knowledge because it's important. And they see how it transforms lives, transforms communities and cultures and all of the good stuff for positive, for a positive thing. And we can do that, and we can do it today. So on this interview, you have no idea how excited I am to be able to have this interview and share it with you a wonderful woman by the name of Gloria, Uganda, and talking about and seeing and experiencing, listening to her passion about how she has this desire to do this. And she's spot on. There's no way of putting it. She is absolutely spot on. I'm tired of talking. Let's get on with the interview. Enjoy Gloria. Gloria, welcome to Industrial Talk. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you, Scott. How are you today?
Excellent. I'm excellent. Now, listeners, she is all the way down in Uganda, so we're going to have a little bit of a delay. That's okay. She's got a beautiful story to tell. It's important that we start to have this conversation. So, of course, I can't pronounce your last name. You're going to have to introduce yourself. So give us a little background on who you are.
All right, Scott. Thank you for having me. And to all our listeners, I am Gloria Turiamureba. I'm a Ugandan living in Kampala, Uganda. I am an entrepreneur. I am very much for women emancipation and empowerment. I went to school in the States, actually, in Texas. I am in the tourism business. And I would love to support in all ways to grow industrial sector in this country, which still has a while to go. But I think we can do something together. So that's just a ballpark of who I am.
And it's great. Now, we first met a few weeks back, and give us a little of the sort of statistics that exist within Uganda and why it's important to be able to start to build up that industrial base. Give us a little statistic in Uganda.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Uganda is one of the three East African countries. East Africa consists of Uganda, Kenya, and Tanzania. Although something called the East African Community has been created that has seven countries, meaning the market is now much bigger. Uganda has 45 million people today. And of those, 70% are below the age of 30. And of those 70%, half are below the age of 18. So the reason why I come to have this conversation with all of you is that we have a very young population, meaning they need employment, they need work. The world out there, most of them are aging populations. So we can hold hands and we give you the labor, you give us the technology and whatever else it has to go with. But it's a young population, it's a land population, and it would be nice to start technically and managerially skilling it.
Yeah, that is an interesting conversation. And we've had this in the past. Listeners, we've talked about the necessity to educate and the necessity to educate, collaborate, and of course, leverage that into innovation. Here's Uganda. Here are these seven countries. There is a real need for education, and especially the education that is wrapped around that innovation and industrial 4.0.
The technical skilling,
Technical skills. What is happening today in Uganda? Is there any effort to train the workforce in those technical skills?
Yes, Scott, there is effort to train, but I believe that it's not yet strong enough. The population tends to override the effort. Like I said, 70% of this population needs this technical skilling. So what happens, these young people go through an education system from kindergarten to university. They are learned, but they are not educated and they are not skilled. What do I mean by that? You go to class every day, you study English all the way, you get a degree, but what do you do with it? Nothing. You're not really trained to do anything. So if we get people to come in and technically train, the very sharp people, very, very sharp people, English being our main language, so to speak, it's very easy for us to communicate. And so it's very easy to skill these people in the different sectors, it be plumbing, electrical, engineer, building, knitting, welding, whatever, the short skilling, so that they are employable by the industry we hope to attract or by the industry that is already in effect. Because what is happening, you find that many of these industries, of course, are foreign owned. But many of them, especially from the managerial level, everybody's a foreigner. Our guys can have these jobs, but they are not technically skilled to do them. So if we skill our people, then they have the opportunity to do this job.
Let me ask you this.
Meaning even the industrialists that come to invest save on money, because if you're employing a local, yes.
The question I have is, Uganda, that area, is it rich in minerals, rich in resources? Why is it important to be able to grow that rich resource?
Oh, fantastic. Uganda is a landlocked country. And when you're landlocked, you can imagine the hindrances you have. All your cargo, all your goods have to come in via another country. So we are lucky that landlocked as we are, but we are also very blessed with very rich soils, meaning food is not a problem. We have oil, which is beginning to come out very soon because they finally signed, I think, the final deal with Total. We have gold in the north. We have iron in the west. We are a rich nation in that soil. But most importantly, we have food. All you have to do is scatter beans, seeds of anything, and in 2 weeks, you'll find them growing wherever you are. So because we have food, our president tends to say that we are not poor because we have food. And I agree. When someone cannot go hungry, they don't care about tomorrow. So in a way, us having food has kept us backward because we don't think beyond that. Okay. So it is a very, very beautiful country as well.
So
making tourism a very, very big investment.
I like that. I like that a lot. Okay. So we've got a workforce that can be educated in the technical skills. That's great.
Yes.
We've got resources that are available within Uganda. That is great.
The country. Yes.
What is the first thing that has to happen to be able to train and then access the wonderful wealth that exists within the country? What is the first thing that has to happen?
The first thing that has to happen is we have to invite people that like some of us in the basic skills, basic meaning, say, hospitality management for the tourism sector, welding, plumbing, wiring. All these are the basic skills to build any property, to serve in a restaurant, to clean in a hotel, the basics. So when we invite these like-minded people who are coming in to train, they will see the niche that they would like to concentrate on. And they will see what we lack and hence concentrate on that. Now, when we begin to skill, our contacts that we'll be working with will have contacts in the world of industry. And so we begin to link the industry with our people. So for example, like I said, we are rich in soil. Agriculture is a very big thing in this country. Imagine if an investor decided to come and invest in fruits. We are very rich in that, fruits. And we planted square miles of fruits and we decided to make fruit packing factories. You will have the guys trained on how to go from putting the seed in the ground up to loading the truck for the goods to go and get exported. So you find that you train them along the whole chain on what to do. But we have the resources. We just need to use our brains, our technical skilling to use these resources. So we need to add value to everything we have for it to make actual money. When we export coffee, we used to have something they used to call the 3 C's and the 3 T's that used to make Uganda. Coffee, cotton, and copper. tea, tobacco, and tin. These are the what I call the historical commodities we used to sell. But we used to export all these things raw. We never processed anything. But today we are processing coffee, we are processing tea, and we get more value because you just get the tea bag and it's made in Uganda. You get the coffee sachets and it's made in Uganda. So we are adding value. Some of the Starbucks carry our brand of coffee. So it's nice when you add value because you bring in Forex. So our target is with all the resources we have, let's add value to all of them. When we add value, we give our homes more income and the country more money.
All right. Why are you so passionate? Why am I talking to you? And why aren't we having more conversations with more people about your passion, about your vision, about the dreams that you want to create within Uganda? Why am I only talking to you? So we've got a pause in the...
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Why are you having this conversation with me? Very good question, Scott. And why aren't we having this with many more? Thomas Cutler, who introduced me to you, told me there are no coincidences. So I believe this was the right time for us to begin this conversation. Like I said, I've been an entrepreneur, I've gone to school, and I have seen a lot. I've traveled the world, and I've appreciated so much in the world. But one of the things I appreciated the most about technical skilling was when I went to school in America. I realized that the people who use their hands, the plumbers, the electricians, earned more money than the accountants and the lawyers. And I never understood that because in Uganda, it's the other way around. Those jobs, you hardly make any money. But I realized that technical skilling takes your effort physically most of the time. And when I came back, it was something that used to bother me a lot. Why do we all go to school to look for white collar jobs? Sorry about the white collar. But I realized that it was because our education system is geared towards employee mentality, not employer mentality. The American system is geared towards employer mentality. You can do a degree in English, and you go and be a manager in a company and you'll excel. It doesn't work like that here. You're an accountant, you go to account. You're a lawyer, you go be a lawyer. You're a doctor, you go be a doctor. So our education system needs to be tweaked. And our mindsets over young people need to be changed. That look, you can take over the world. You can do this. Don't think small, think big. In my language, there's a saying that if you eat a frog, eat a fat, juicy one. So basically, we need to teach our young folks to go for the big fat frogs. That is how we change the country one by one. Why am I passionate? I was lucky enough to have gone to good schools, to have been exposed, have been in a family business from when I finished school to this day, and have entered tourism, which exposed me so much to the world. In my tenure on the board of the Chamber of Commerce, I traveled and met a lot of people. And that is when my interaction with people, especially in developing countries, started, and my passion for helping women. Women in Uganda are 56% of the population. So almost 6 in every 10 is a woman. Our current government and our president is very much for women empowerment. In the time he's been president, we have had 2 vice presidents that are women. That is not very common. Women hold the top offices in this country. He has really empowered us, but we still have a ways to go. One, because we are more in number, but two, we carry the weight of the family. So if you empower the woman and she's able to earn, then the family does better automatically, no question about it. So my plea and my wish is to see all women empowered in whichever way, whether she's in the market, whether she's in the factory, whether she's in the bank, empowered to know that for the same job she does and the man does, you'll earn the same amount of money if you put in the same time. That is it. I am not here to ask for much more, just equal opportunity. We have got that in this country. Women have been so lucky. And if you work hard, you will get there. But we still have ways to go because our women do the agriculture bit, the planting, the looking after the homes, carrying the children. It's quite a lot of work. And we need to be cut some slack. So if we technically empowered them, oh my God, you'd be amazed what these women can do. I mean, I've seen women raise 8 children, 8, 9, 10, and she goes to the garden, digs every day, takes these children to school. It's incredible. And she still has a smile and welcomes her husband home in the evening. And I'm thinking, how do they do this? But anyway, that's a story for another day. So if we empower them, yes.
Yes. Let me ask this one question. I'm all tingling inside because I love your energy and passion and focus and desire to change lives. And that's really all I talk about. What are the roadblocks?
Here we go. The first roadblock is the mindset of the population. We think small. The attitude towards work. Because we think small, our attitude towards work is not very good. Secondly, we have a lot of red tape and bureaucracy in government. So for you to come and want to invest in A, B, C, D, the hoops you'll have to go through may not make you very happy. But we are continuously engaging and they are being really, really changed. Like right now, we have an organization called the Uganda Investment Authority. It's a one-stop center for any investor who wants to come into Uganda, from licensing to all your paperwork, to a one-stop center. So that helps make life much easier. But yes, we have corruption as well, as you know. Nothing new to most of this part of the world. But again, it's improving with time. My question is, where were we 10 years ago? Have we improved? Yes, we have. Where were we registering a company 10 years ago? Have we improved? Yes, we have. And with this kind of dialogue and you giving us this platform to speak, it helps people get to know, oh, in Uganda, when I left 10 years ago, things were so good. Well, maybe let me give it a shot. So if we attract everybody, they can all begin by coming as tourists. Come and see. Uganda is beautiful. It's truly gifted by nature. We have 70% of the gorilla population in the world. That's good enough for you to come and see. So if you come in as a tourist and you decide, well, let me do maybe a bit of industrial tourism or whichever other, you'll get to learn more by interacting with the people. What kind of people are these? Thomas told me one of our biggest assets is you, the people. Said it was so interesting speaking to all the people along the way, my baggage handler, my driver, my chef. My said, there's such an interesting bunch of people. And like I said, because English is the main language we all use, it's easy for us to interact with people. Uganda has over 35 different dialects of languages. It's an amazing country. So some people speak from a different region and I don't even hear one word they've said. So we have to speak English for us to understand one another. And the cultures across the whole country, the north, the east, the west, the south, totally diverse, yet somehow, somewhere we meet as a nation. So it's such a wonderful nation. And I'm so passionate because I have been lucky to see what is out there. And I know from being a Ugandan that we can even go much further than most of these countries. If only we have people like Scott, people like Thomas, opening these doors for us. Into that world.
That is a absolute beautiful statement. Now, I've got all the contact information. Unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap this up. But what I have is I have a website called footprints-safaris.com. That's one. I have your email address.
Yes.
That's two. So those yes. are two things to
yes.
ways of being able to get a hold of you. And you can be start out just being a tourist.
Exactly. You have my phone number as well, I think.
Start
out being a tourist.
There it is. Be a tourist. Experience the beauty of Uganda and realize the opportunities that exist as an investor.
But that's a peep.
And there it is, man. I
absolutely. Absolutely. And we take it from there.
And then she'll take it from there. All right, listeners. Her name is Gloria.
Absolutely. And the first person we are hosting is Scott.
All right. Her name is Gloria. I can't pronounce her last name. It's a beautiful last name. But she's got a lot of passion. She's got a lot of focus.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of ability to create dreams for not just her, but for everybody within the country of Uganda and beyond. Absolutely wonderful conversation, Gloria. Thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Yes. Thank you, Scott. Thank you for hosting me. I look forward to many more of these.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And let's sell this country and let's have these conversations and help this part of the world. Thank you so much.
I love it. Okay, listeners, do not fret. We're going to wrap it up on the other side. So stick around. So stay tuned. We're going to do it again.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, that's Gloria. You could tell that she has a tremendous, the heart is huge. Her passion is just unquenchable, and the desire for her to be able to transform Uganda, the communities, people's lives, it's all wrapped up into industrial education. Go out to industrialtalk.com. And you're saying to yourself, Scott, how do I participate in this wonderful purpose? Go there. Get on industrialtalk.com or on the podcast. Let's start teaching. Let's start educating. Let's start collaborating. Let's start innovating. And we can do this. We can do this. And people like Gloria and company definitely have the passion. All right. Be bold. Be brave. Dare greatly. Hang out with people who are bold, brave, and daring greatly like Gloria, and you will be changing the world. You are wonderful people. Do not forget how industry is changing the world. We will be back with another great interview shortly.